Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the men, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed men, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the men got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. Johnny Erickson Tada is an author, a painter, and an influential advocate for men, physically challenged people. She loved the outdoors, riding horses, going hiking and swimming. And while she was in high school, she received Christ as her Lord, and she became a Christian. And after her high school graduation, she went to a beach in the Chesapeake Bay, that's on the East Coast near Virginia. And she, dove into the water, but she misjudged the depth of the water. And when she dove in, the water proved to be too shallow, and she broke her neck, and she became instantly paralyzed from shoulders to her feet. And she thought, "Oh, this was just going to be it's going to be a temporary thing." But when the doctors told her that it was going to be permanent, she was devastated. Now, what if you were in her place, and suddenly, you're bedridden, and suddenly Jesus Christ appears to you, and he offers you two choices. You can either be healed completely of your paralysis, or you can be forgiven of your sins. Which one would you choose? Now, let's just think about that question on the back of our minds as we discuss the story. So after the pig incident at Gadara on the other side of the lake, Jesus comes back to his town, which is Capernaum, and that was the base for his Galilean ministry. And most likely, Jesus stayed at Peter's house. We learned that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law or mother, and so most likely he was staying there. And while Jesus was teaching at Peter's house, some men brought a paralyzed person lying on a mat. And Mark and Luke, they tell this same story in their gospel as well. And their account tells us that while Jesus was preaching the good news, these four men, they went up to the roof of the house, they tore up the roof, and they lowered this person lying on a mat from the roof. But Matthew, interestingly, he skips all that detail. He is much more interested in what Jesus does than what people do with their faith. But Matthew does mention that Jesus saw their faith. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Take heart, son, for your sins are forgiven." Now, I wonder, where did these men get their faith? You know, was it just a hearsay? Did they hear people say, the rumors about Jesus, that this great healer, and suddenly come to have faith in Christ? Well, if their faith was based on a hearsay, I don't think they would have gone that far, that much trouble to come to Jesus. Most likely, these men had some experience of Jesus themselves. At least one of the four probably had experienced healing from Jesus. And when the friends saw their person, their friend, get healed, they come to have some faith in Jesus Christ. And the first thing Jesus says to the paralytic is, take heart. In Greek is take courage. And that statement shows that the paralytic and his friends, they came to Jesus with some sense of fear. Maybe they were afraid that they were interrupting Jesus while he was preaching. Or maybe they were afraid that the crowds might get angry at them. Or maybe they were afraid that the owner of the house, maybe Peter, that the owner would get angry at them. Or all of the above. And yet, Jesus does not rebuke them. Jesus welcomes the act of these people. And some people may feel that God of the universe cannot be bothered by my small need. They're like, oh, God's too busy running the whole universe, so I shouldn't bother God with my small request. But that's not the case. You know, take courage by Jesus corrects that impression. Jesus is pleased and he encourages people, you know, like you and I, to come to him with our needs. And what the paralytic and his friends wanted was a physical healing. What they expected to hear was, take courage, son, your sickness is healed. But Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And people may have wondered, why is Jesus saying that? No, that's not what this man needs. He needs to be healed. He doesn't need forgiveness. But for that paralytic, God's forgiveness was what he needed the most. You know, I'm sure, you know, we've all been to a doctor. When we go see a doctor, the doctor asks you, you know, he has a chart and he's like, oh, so what are the symptoms? And he writes down the symptoms. When did you start to have these symptoms? You know, he asks you a lot of questions to learn about your disease. But Jesus, with one look, he knows what this man's problem was. And Jesus reaches beneath this man's paralysis to remove that man's guilt and heals him at his roots. The word forgive here is literally to send away, sending this man's sin far away so that it can never come back. And not all sickness is caused by our sin, but in this man's case, the paralysis seems to have been caused by a tremendous sense of guilt. He not only felt guilty, but he was guilty and he knew it. Living with paralysis, he may have asked God to forgive his sins, but he felt that God was condemning him, and he lived in guilt and shame. But Jesus' declaration of forgiveness frees him of his guilt and released him of his shame. And when Jesus said that his sins were forgiven, the religious experts thought, wow, that this guy is blaspheming. You know, he's a mere human being, and how can he do something that only God can do? But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he says, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? And Jesus calls their thoughts evil. Why is that evil? They were right. They seem to be right. They were the Orthodox. The teachers of the law would be right if Jesus was a mere human being. But if Jesus was really God in flesh, then their thoughts are evil because they have now become the blasphemers. They are denying God's prerogative to forgive people on earth. And Jesus says, which is easier? Your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, get up and walk. Take your mat and go home. And the paralyzed man was healed immediately. And the crowd was filled with awe. And they praised God for giving such authority to a human being. But the crowd missed the significance of this miracle. The only authority they saw was the authority of Jesus to heal. But the visible healing was to confirm the invisible authority of Jesus to forgive. People only saw God giving authority to a human being. But what they should have seen was the very presence of God in the person of Jesus. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. And it's an apocalyptic term for the Messiah in the Old Testament. And this is what Daniel says about the Son of Man. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So the authority of Jesus to forgive sins is another evidence that the kingdom of God is breaking into history. Kingdom of God is breaking into time. The king is here, and he can forgive sins as the Son of God. Now, let's think about that question I asked in the beginning. You know, the paralyzed man was truly blessed because he received both healing and forgiveness, physical blessing and spiritual blessing. But if you had to choose between forgiveness of sins and healing, which one would you have chosen? I think the more important question is, if that was a choice, which one do you think Jesus would have picked for that man or for you? I believe the priority of Jesus is always forgiveness of sins. While on earth, we know that Jesus performed many miraculous signs, performed many exorcisms and many healings. But the point of all those things, the point of all of them, was that people would put their faith in Jesus and come to be forgiven by God's grace. And if people receive God's forgiveness, they can enjoy a personal, a living, real relationship with their Creator. And that's what Jesus wanted to give to people. And there are many Christians today who are suffering from chronic illness. And some Christians may think that they are not healed because they do not have enough faith. But there are many Christians who have strong faith and yet are not healed. I think we forget that God is sovereign. Some people God chooses to heal. Others God chooses not to heal. Whether the person is healed or not, I think the purpose is the same. God receives the honor and the glory. For some people, God's will is that they are healed of their sickness and God is glorified through their healing. For others, God's will is that they are not healed. They live with their illness all their life. And yet, God is glorified in their life in sickness. Apostle Paul is an example. He had a great faith, perhaps the greatest faith ever on earth, besides Jesus. But he had to live with a tormenting disease all his life. He wrote that in Corinthians that he had a thorn in his flesh which tormented him, but God did not heal his illness. According to Paul, God did so because, it says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations or visions he saw. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, about my disease, so that Christ's power may rest on me. God did not heal Paul in order to humble him and to make Christ's power perfect in his weakness. And we know that God used Paul greatly to expand his kingdom. The existence of suffering or chronic illness in believers' life does not necessarily mean that that person lacks faith. God will use the illness for God's purpose. And I want to show you two other modern examples. We can get back to Joni Erickson Tada. Though many people had prayed for her healing, she was never healed of her paralysis. After the accident, she was in bed for 1.5 years. She couldn't do anything. She was bedridden. And during that time, she was really angry at God. And she went between depression and being angry, depression and angry. And she just couldn't understand why God would allow this to happen in her life. And she wanted to die rather than live as a quadriplegic. But she overcame that anger and the depression with faith in Jesus. She used her mouth. That's the only part that she could move. So she put a brush in her mouth and she began to paint with her mouth. And she sold her paintings to make a living. Despite her condition, she grew in her faith and she studied the Bible on her own. And she also studied the Bible with a small group of friends. And she read lots of books about God's purpose in human suffering. In her everyday life, despite her condition, she radiated the joy of Christ. And her testimony has encouraged and inspired thousands and thousands of people, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And she wrote several books, and she became a well-known advocate for the disabled people. And recently, it has been 50 years since her accident. She hasn't been healed in 50 years. But looking back, she believes that God's purpose for her life was to save her from her old self and her sin. She says her suffering and pain drives her constantly to the cross and to depend upon God. She says that these 10 words changed her life. God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. God permits what he hates to accomplish what God loves. And those words changed her outlook and changed her life. And she sees that in Joseph's life. She sees that in the life of Jesus, especially in the cross of Jesus Christ. And she sees it in her own life. God did not heal Johnny, but God is being glorified and honored. God's name is being spread through her life. In an article on Gospel Coalition website, she says, "I would rather be in this wheelchair knowing Christ than be on my feet without Christ." For Johnny, a living relationship with Jesus was so much more important than healing of her paralysis. And that relationship is possible because of God's forgiveness. I want to mention just one more example from South Korea. Song Myung-hee, she was born with cerebral palsy that confined her to a wheelchair, a paralyzed person. Though she grew up in a Christian home, she was really bitter and angry about her condition. But she became a born-again Christian when she was 17. And for the next 4 years, she fell in love with Jesus. She prayed for 3 or 4 hours every day. And she read the Bible for hours. And in those 4 years, she says that she read the Bible more than 30 times from book to book, from beginning to the end. She loved God's word, and she fell in love with Jesus. And during those 4 years, she wrote some poems about Jesus. And later, her poems were published, and her also testimony was published, and soon she became a national figure. And few of her poems had become praise songs, gospel music. But her condition did not get any better. In fact, her paralysis got worse and worse until her death. Though she was not healed, her poetry and testimonies have blessed, encouraged, and inspired many, many people in South Korea. And her dream was to build a school, a brand new school for the disabled people, and her dream was achieved. God used her illness to bring her close to Jesus and God received glory through her life. And what stands out in her poetry is her intimate relationship with Jesus. And I have just one of her famous song. I think we have it. Yes, there we go. Though I do not have wealth, though I do not have knowledge nor health others have, I have something that others don't have. I've seen things others have not seen. I have heard the voice others have not heard. I've received love others have not received. I have understood things that others have not understood. God is fair, though I lack what others have. God let me have things others lack. Dale Bruner is a beloved commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. He wrote that with the forgiveness of sins, we are at our ultimate place. We are in right relation with God. Jesus performed many healings, but that was not his priority. His priority is to preach the good news so that people can receive God's forgiveness and come to have a right relationship with God. Even if we are not healed, we can be grateful for God's forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness is the spiritual blessing that we need more than our physical healings. The greater blessing than healing is the intimate relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. Now, do you have the assurance that you are forgiven by God? Have you experienced the joy of being forgiven? You know, it's like having a heavy burden lifted off your shoulders. Your guilt, your shame are cleared and you have a clear conscience. And God's acceptance empowers you to live a new life. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached to the crowd, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If you decide to turn away from your sin and get baptized in the name of Jesus, God promises that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you have not yet been baptized, would you consider getting baptized in the near future? We have a baptism class for those who want to be baptized. Now, if you do have the assurance of salvation, if you are assured of your forgiveness, then we can consider these two questions for application. The first one is, how is your relationship with God? How is your personal relationship with Jesus? What can you do to nurture that relationship with Christ? You know, when I was growing up, I used to think that you had to like pray in a certain way. You know, I grew up in Korea, so in Korea they have these small, like, you know, rectangular mats. And like my image of like a holy person was they would kneel on that mat and they would like pray like this for like 5 hours. You know, I'm like, oh, that's a holy person. But I realized, no, that's just one way, you know, of praying or relating with God. You know, later I learned that you could just walk around. You could walk, you could hike, and you could, you know, you could pray as you're walking. So sometimes when I'm praying here by myself, I just go back and forth, and I try to pray. Sometimes I raise my hands. You know, there isn't one way to nurture the relationship. And I've learned that one pastor, he was, you know, his old way of having a quiet time wasn't really working for him. So he asked another pastor, what do you do nowadays to get closer to God? And he says, you know what? I listen to Handel's Messiah. What? This guy doesn't like classical music. You know, Handel's Messiah. He says, Handel's Messiah, all the words are from the Bible. And it's a song. It's like, you know, listening to music you know, from the words of the Bible. It's like, okay, so he tried listening to Handel's Messiah, and this guy loves it. He's listening to it in his car at home, and the kids are like, Dad, what's this? It's Handel's Messiah. Don't you love it? It's like, no. But
there's different ways to relate to God, and there's different ways to nurture that relationship. Whatever it takes, you can try different ways, different methods, but you want to do something to develop a closer relationship with Jesus. And the other one is, whom can you forgive? Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Since we have been forgiven of a great debt by Jesus, we are to forgive others who owe a very small debt in comparison. And you know, I think the ones that we usually hurt the most are our spouses. Have we asked our spouse for forgiveness, and have we forgiven our spouse? Let's respond to God's word by celebrating the Lord's Supper. And today, I have a